welcome to the Labrador podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. Welcome back to another episode of the Labrador podcast. I've got two wonderful guests today to chat about their experiences with their Labrador, Mabel. Mabel joined me for training at the Tales of Success online puppy school, then again at our online scent detection program, and is now being supported at our Success Acceleration program. Sarah and Amy, a massive warm welcome to you both. Sarah, let's get started with the good stuff. So tell us all about Mabel.
Yeah, Mabel is a fox red Labrador. She's from the working line, but she's very much our family pet. She's probably one of the most sociable dogs that we've ever met. She loves a walk. Her favorite place is heading off to the forest, but she also loves to come home and have a big nap. She gets very excited by everything and anything. She's just all round, loves other people, other dogs. Yeah, she's our best friend, really, and we love her.
So she sounds like a very typical kind of 10-month-old working line Labrador. Is she the only dog that you've got in your house, or have you had dogs previously, or, you know, even as kids, have you had dogs?
Yeah, she's the only dog that we have at the moment. I've had dogs as a child. But yeah, very different experience now. I wasn't involved in training. I'm not even sure my parents really did that much training with our family pets. So I had three dogs as a child, no Labradors though. Very different experience. Whereas Amy and I have been day one. We've always wanted to train Mabel. We wanted her to fit into our lives. Therefore, we thought we need to focus on the training.
Absolutely. It's so, so important. What were those three dogs you had as family pets when you were a kid?
Yeah, I had a Sheltie, so like a miniature collie, and a Lassie dog. I can't remember the actual proper term.
A Lassie dog's cool. Everyone knows what a Lassie dog is.
And a West Highland Terrier, so very different dogs, completely different.
So what made you choose a Labrador? Because there's not really any connection there with kind of memories from being a child. So what made you opt for a Labrador this time around?
Yeah, it's quite a long decision, really. So I've always wanted a dog, you know, from adulthood. And as soon as we bought our new house, we got Mabel straight away. But in the lead up to getting the house, we did a lot of research on what type of dog we wanted. I actually originally wanted a Vizsla, a Hungarian Vizsla, which is a very different dog. I don't know if it's because I like ginger dogs, because maybe it's quite similar. But we met a lot of fox reds. We were out and about on walks that we thought were Vizslas, and spoke to the owners and they said, oh, no, they're fox reds. And then that got us looking into them. Labradors were not an option at all, really, before that, because my experience with Labradors are from things like Marley and Me, which isn't really a selling point for a Labrador, is it? And then Amy convinced me that Fox Reds are the same as Vizslas, when they're completely not. Obviously, they've got a lot of benefits, but they also shed a lot, so that's her main negative. So we went with Mabel then. We did a lot of research for breeders, and we really struggled to find one like Mabel, so quite deep fox red, that working line. And it was through a friend really that we found her.
Good. And you've not looked back since. It's just been a delight from day one, right?
Yeah, I'm already yeah. So we need to get another one.
Well, when you have one Labrador, you may as well get two, and then it's inevitable you end up with three. We all do it at some point. So let's just focus on Mabel rather than getting carried away with buying loads more dogs just yet. I'm sure by the end of the episode, you'll have decided you're going to get more. But where is Mabel at her very, very happiest?
I would probably say in the forest. We live really close to a forest, and she goes there most days. And because it's so big, we try and find different areas to walk her in, but she loves it. And we think it's because of all the different smells. Her nose is to the ground the whole time, and she absolutely loves it. And you can tell when she's found a particular trail that she loves, because she's just off. And usually she gets to spot some deers as well that she attempts to chase, but has no chance of catching them. But that's a tough one, really, because she absolutely loves the forest, but she's also extremely happy if anybody comes to our house that isn't us. It actually makes us feel a bit sad sometimes, because how happy she is with other people as opposed to us. But yeah, I would say out on a walk, she absolutely loves any new place, really. And that's what we've found recently. Now that her training's progressing, you know, we take her to newer places, and yeah, she's so happy. So we're looking forward to exploring new places with her.
Would you say that your life has kind of changed since you've had her, in the sense of, do you now get out more to explore places? Has she had a positive impact, positive spin on your outdoor life?
Yeah, I would say we go for more walks in the rain now than what we would have done before, especially throughout the winter. We definitely, yeah, that's probably a good thing about it, walking in the rain at all hours. But we actually used to do a lot longer walks, but because she's still only 10 months old, we're still building up to those longer walks. So I think we miss that, don't we, being able to do like really long walks, but we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, in the not too distant future, I'm sure you're going to be able to achieve that, and she'll be a great little walking buddy. I know you've recently taken her on a bit of a holiday. So you went over to Wales, didn't you, and had a bit of an adventure there. So tell us a bit about that experience of going on holiday with what is essentially a crazy little puppy.
Yeah, we were worried about what we'd let ourselves in for, especially in the car. She's not the best in the car. I think we think it's an excitement thing where she like makes whining noises, sometimes even howling noises, but she's only really done like 10 minute journeys to like wherever we walk her. So we're a bit worried about that, but she actually slept most of the time in the car, so that was absolutely fine. And then she got to have her first experience on the beach. We went to the beach every day, so she was absolutely loving it. We quickly realized which beaches we should take her to and which beaches we shouldn't take her to. One day we went to quite a busy family beach because we were actually on a family holiday with my family, and the kids wanted to go to a particular beach, which was fine. And we instantly thought we would never choose to take her there, but obviously we had to because we were with family, and we didn't obviously didn't want to leave her in the car. So we took her along, and there was loads of kids, picnics, balls flying everywhere. And we had two toys with us, and we stupidly threw them into the water and lost both of them. So she had no toy then. So what did she do? She stole someone else's ball, the child's ball. So you can just imagine me sprinting across the beach trying to get this ball. And then we had to put her on the lead, which obviously wasn't enjoyable for her. But I think overall that was a good training experience because she had to then sit and watch. It was awful for us because she was pulling and whining, and wasn't a very relaxing experience for us. But for her, it was probably quite good. And then the day after that, we went to a really quiet beach, only dog walkers, really open. And she absolutely loved that. She'd run for days, and we bought a new toy, so she was happy. So yeah, that was really good. And she'd never really swam before that as well. And that weekend, she did lots of swimming. We were quite worried that, not worried, but we thought we'd have to build up her confidence to swimming. But the first time she saw water was quite a heavy flowing river, and she just dived straight in. We were panicking. She was having the best time. And yeah, it was quite funny to watch her swimming as well. But yeah, she absolutely loved it. And then we realized her love for water. So now we're just constantly trying to find places with water that she could swim in.
It's just that natural instinct that so many retrievers have got. You know, it's kind of what they were built to do, retrieving, you know, fallen game and fish and that kind of stuff. And I know you're planning another little holiday with her. So you've got a trip in a camper van. How are you feeling about sharing a small space with a dog?
Yeah, I think that will be interesting. We've shared smaller space before where she's like had to sleep in our room, and we've stayed in a couple of shepherd's huts, and they've been quite small. So it's kind of going to hopefully be a similar version of that. We're cautious about the travel, you know, where she should sit, if she's going to be clipped to the sea or potentially in the collapsible crate, and just also the travel itself. But I think she's obviously going to love the holiday. She'll be on a beach every day for 2 weeks, so she'll be loving life. But yeah, a bit anxious about the travel, and we've got to get a boat as well. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, but I'm sure she'll be fine. She's quite quick to adapt, we found, in like certain situations. She gets over things pretty quickly.
So I think probably in the first few months of her life, you have exposed her to lots of different things. I know you've done training with her, and all that will definitely help because she's not used to just walking in the forest. You've taken her to town centres, and she's been exposed to those slightly busier places. So all of that will kind of chip away, and she'll feel a bit more confident when she goes to those places. And also knowing that you are there with her will help. You know, she'll be pretty cool with that. Let's talk a little bit about the training that you've done with her so far. So Amy, I'm going to bring you in here to chat about the next bit. So when we first got together way back when Mabel was quite little, you were already taking part in a training program with someone else, so not Tales of Success. Tell us a little bit about that first experience of training, and you know, how it worked for you, how it worked for Mabel, and what made you end up coming to us to train rather than what you were doing.
Yeah, so originally we we kind of did some training, I think 5 or 6 weeks in a village hall setting. So I think initially it was good for maybe a bit of socialization for Mabel, to kind of see other dogs. And she did learn quite a lot of base skills, I would say, there. So it definitely had its pluses, but we noticed that because of her breed and because of she's so driven by just everyone else and everything else, it became a bit stressful because her attention was focusing more on the other dogs and even the trainer and just everything in that village hall that probably had a thousand smells that became more exciting than what we were actually trying to train her to do. So yeah, for us, we did a lot of kind of settling, but it became sort of a constant battle of feeding treats and she kind of getting up again and just being distracted. And if another dog moved, you know, she'd kind of lose her focus. So I think for us, we just wanted to find another way of training Mabel so that her attention was on us. It was in like a comfortable setting. It wasn't too distracting, so she could actually learn. Because I think she was sort of learning, but now in hindsight, when I think about it, how quickly she's learned through sort of with Tales of Success, it's been really different. Like she's picked up things a lot quicker, and there's a lot more focus there than there was at the village hall. Obviously, her age I think had a part to play because she was still very young. I think she was about 10. No, it must have been 12 weeks when we started going there. So yeah, she was still really, really young. And I don't think she had any negative kind of impact there or experience, but it definitely was a good decision for us to switch to a different way of training. I think that's a really good kind of plus decision we've made there with her.
And that training that we're talking about, so the training that we did was all online training. So you guys were doing it from your kitchen, weren't you? You were just kind of in your kitchen. It was just you and Mabel. I was there to train with you doing live training, but Mabel had no idea I was there. It was just you were having lots of fun training with her. And I think the beauty of that for a lot of youngsters is that they are focusing entirely on their learning rather than being distracted by all those sights, smells and sounds. So it means actually that brain is just focused on the task in hand, and it's nice to see them pick things up much, much quicker. And then it's your turn to try and translate that into real life and add those distractions in. Did you find that doing your online training session with me allowed you then to kind of push her into different situations around distractions and carry on refining those skills in real life?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think with the other setting in the village hall, you're kind of going into it in a distracting environment in the straight away, and that's too much. It's too much for the dog. Like sometimes Mabel would kind of pull towards the door, which is, you know, a big sign to say, yeah, I need to get out of here, like it's too much. So I think to have it kind of with Tails in your own setting, it's a good base, because then you know that she's taking it in, you know that she's focused. And then when we're ready, we can kind of gradually up it. So even if it for us it was in the kitchen, but then we kind of just went to exploring throughout the whole house. So then she got to know it. And then we kind of went to the garden. So it was just easier to build it up from then. And we definitely noticed that even now, if we're teaching something new, we'll always start right back in the kitchen, to be honest. And then we'll kind of build it up to eventually, you know, the street outside or the high street.
Yeah, I know the high street has been a big thing for kind of getting Mabel to be chilled out and relaxed. And it probably will be a big thing for a long time, because it's an overwhelming place. But I know you've had some good success and you've just got to keep building up on that. What would you say your training regime looks like now? You know, do you have kind of this set stuff that you train every day, every week, every month? Do you have particular allocated time for training sessions, or is it more just something that has evolved into daily life?
Yeah, so we definitely do it every day, or as much as we can. But there'll be the odd rest day where we think, you know, she's particularly tired after a weekend away or whatever. So we'll give her a bit of a rest. But we definitely integrate, I would say her recall is like our main focus. So her recall's, I'd say, probably at its best place now. It's really good. And we do that with a whistle, also a command as well. But the whistle is kind of our favorite thing, because she's a lot more off in the woods now, so we can't always see her every single point of the walk. So the whistle, we know that she can definitely come back. And then we've got the stop whistle as well for emergencies. We're kind of working our way through that. She's just about getting it now. I think, yeah, we kind of worked through the stages on the online portal, and I think, yeah, we're in a good place. Sometimes she crouches like she's hunting, and sometimes she just sits. So either one is good. But that's really helpful for, you know, coming to a gate and you're not sure what's next, or which we do quite a lot. And there's also quite a lot of cows and stuff around at the minute, so we just want to make sure that she doesn't run off and chase or any farm animals. So we got the whistle and we started working on that. And for her, it was almost like just a wow moment, because she just responded so well to the whistle. And I don't know whether it's because our voices just became a bit boring and she just got fed up of us shouting commands at her. So
I think that stop whistle is probably one of the most important skills that you could ever teach, because it's almost like pressing a pause button on life, isn't it, when you've got a dog. You said about her crouching, sometimes sitting. Do you know what? Even if she just stands and stares at you, that's okay, because she's still not progressing towards danger or the things you don't want her to go towards. Whistles are my favourite bit of kit for training a dog, because there's no emotion in it. They don't know if you're angry, if you're happy, if you're sad, and you don't have to worry. You know, your commands might be different for every single person, but that whistle will always sound the same, whichever one of you is blowing it. Could you imagine life with Mabel if you'd not gone to your puppy school training in the village hall, if you'd not done any training with me? You know, if you just bought this dog, read a book and thought, okay, we're just going to leave it to it and see what happens. What would life be like?
Oh, well, we read quite a lot of books, and now they definitely are not enough. you can read all you want, I think, but unless, without training, I think Mabel would be a lot less happy, because I think we would just not understand how to kind of communicate on her level, make her understand us, and vice versa. And I think there would be no boundaries. So I think especially with her living in a domestic house and being a working line, it's just not natural for her to just fit in naturally without being taught things. So she has her little quirks, but all in all, she's such a great dog. She's reasonably calm. She learns really quickly, and she just wants to please at the end of the day. And I think without any training, it just wouldn't work. I don't really know how people have Labradors and don't train them. It would be chaos, I think.
I think that's a great way to put it. It would be absolute chaos, because Labradors are smart. They're clever. You know, people often say they need a job to do, and I do believe that they've got to have kind of a purpose to what they're doing every day, and they've got to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. What sort of training method would you say is your kind of go-to? So loads of different methods out there: treat training, positive reinforcement, shouting and screaming. There's all sorts of different things that you can do to train a dog. Some are better than others. Where are you with kind of what you do with Mabel?
So to start with, we did a lot of treat training. So it was like food rewards. And she responded really well to that. We just kind of got to know the level of treats. So there were some treats that she liked more than others, and we would just kind of get the really, really good stuff for things like recall and, I don't know, loose, when we were doing like loosely walking at the beginning, and the main sort of things, we just had to make sure that the treats were high level. Now though, for her recall as well, she is more toy orientated than treat orientated. And we found that really interesting, because it felt like it was overnight, where she'd just kind of like take the treat, and as though she was like doing a favor for you, just like, oh, snatch it off your hand and just run off. Whereas if she knows you've got her favorite toy, and she likes to play tug as well, so that she gets so excited for, and it's a lot more than giving her any kind of food, really. I don't think there's any other treat now that would top the thought of having a toy either thrown, you know, kind of in a direction so she can chase it, or just holding it out and just having a quick game of tug. It's really changed our recall progression. I think that was the minute where I think, yeah, we had a kind of one-to-one session with you, and we figured out that it just drove her wild, like it drove her crazy, and it still does. And we kind of alternate the toys so that she doesn't, you know, hopefully get bored one day and just ignore us. But it's definitely made her to the point where she's kind of going after some kind of animal, and then will say ready. That's kind of the word that we use to say to her, you know, you're going to get some playtime with your toy. And she'll do a full sort of like 360 or 180 and come right back to us. So that we kind of think that that's the ultimate distraction, and it works.
Yeah. So you've found her motivation, and now you know what that is. You can use that to your advantage for so many different things. You said that Mabel is from Working Line, and I know you did scent detection training with us. So that's really where we give a dog a job to do. We get them to use their nose and their brain and tap into that kind of natural desire they've got to do stuff. She was a nose-driven dog, which is why we decided to kind of push her in that direction anyway. Have you found that that has been something that she's taken to quite well and enjoyed doing?
Yeah, she loves scent detection. I think I don't ever see her as excited, maybe with the toy, but it's her tail. Her tail does something like she whirls her tail around, and I never see it go that fast and that crazy when she's looking for like a scent in the forest or something. Even we get her to like search for things now. So when we did the scent detection training, obviously we used a pot that she could sniff out behind cupboards, and it was just really nice to see like how excited she got, and it was a real job for her to kind of try and find that. And even now, even if we don't, you know, we don't have the pot, we don't carry it around necessarily, it's about hiding something and then just getting her to search, and then she'll go off into the forest. And we do that, I would say, probably on every walk or
at home,
yeah, at least a couple of times a week, because we know that it's really good, like, mental stimulation for her. And she's like panting by the end of it because she's so excited, and she's just always, she's really obedient with it as well, because she doesn't want to mess up. She doesn't want to kind of mess up this great sort of back and forth of like us hiding something and her finding something. So it's a really good relationship builder, I think, as well, and brought us closer to her.
Good. Really nice. Think back to the very beginning, before this good stuff was happening, and you had this 8-week-old biting machine on your hands, right? So, Sarah, when we talk about biting, tell me a little bit about this puppy teething stage that you went through. Because Labradors are pretty horrific with biting, chewing, and nipping. So tell us all about what it was like with Mabel.
Yeah, it was definitely something that we were not prepared for at all. I think we even got to the point where we were like Googling, like, is she an aggressive dog? Like, we have lots of friends and family that have got puppies, and nobody warned us about this stage. Maybe Labradors are worse, but when we pictured bringing home our cute little 8-week-old puppy, we did not picture her attacking us all the time, destroying all of our clothes. It even got to the point where we were wearing like 3 pairs of trousers, 3 pairs of socks.
Yeah.
And it sounds crazy now. We spoke about it the other day and it sounds silly now. And it's funny, like, I've almost forgotten about it to the point where I'm like, let's get another puppy. And Amy's not quite forgotten about it yet. But I usually remember when I pick up a top to put on and it's got like holes down the front where she's literally tore the whole thing off. Yeah, and it was painful. Like, I've got pictures of, like, you know, where she's caught my finger and my finger was bleeding. Yeah, like I said, we weren't expecting it at all. It was quite difficult to manage, but yeah, we spoke to a lot of people. I think we spoke to yourself as well at the time, because I mean, there was nights where she was like running right in the kitchen, in the lounge, jumping on and off the sofa, and we were like stood up, like unable to sit on the sofa because she was just ruling the roost, this tiny little thing, and we were terrified of her. It sounds silly now, but we even like read this one thing that was saying about, you know, wearing wellies around the house to try and stop them like attacking your ankles. So we kind of read about folding your arms and facing the wall and making no sounds, which is really difficult when you've got all those sharp little teeth like clinging onto you, and like trying obviously not to touch them or push them off or anything. So you kind of just got to like grin and bear it, which I wasn't really good at. So that's how a lot of clothes got destroyed, because I just put more and more layers on. Yeah, that was definitely the hardest bit, but obviously all very worth it now, and I can see why people go through it. But it was quite a challenge. And I'm not
so sure. when the new puppy comes along, that Amy's not quite sold on just yet, would you do anything different as far as that teething, biting stage, or would you just accept that it's part of the process?
I would wear older clothes that I care less about. I don't know, I would definitely try and ignore it more. I would be less worried and stressed about it because I would know that it's completely normal, because we were really worried that we picked this aggressive dog. And I remember speaking to you as well, and you were like, she's not aggressive, it's completely normal. But we just needed to hear that because, you know, we didn't know that, we weren't expecting it. When I had puppies as a child, I didn't remember any of this stage. I'm not sure what we would do differently. Maybe give her a bit more of time out. I think that was something that we learned about later, is when she is having these phases to, you know, kind of just leave her to it. We probably didn't do that enough. We would try and work in the same room as her as well, which was quite stressful and probably didn't help, where she's clinging on to us and we're stressed. So we probably wouldn't do that as much.
When she was younger as well, she also had some issues with her tummy, didn't she? She had some kind of digestion type issues. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and then I think we realised after that might have added to her behaviour a bit more. So when we got her, she came on a certain type of food, and we did a bit of research about the food and it seemed fine. So we carried on feeding her that, and our thoughts of a Labrador where they eat everything, and we'd put her bowl down and she would just look at it and wouldn't eat it. And then her toilet situation wasn't good, and then that worried us. There was blood involved as well, so obviously we spoke to the vet, and then she quickly started to lose weight, where we could like see, like not drastically, but we could see her ribs, so it was a bit worrying. We must have tried about 7 or 8 different types of dog food, so we donated all of them in the end. But we took her to the vet multiple times, tried cooking her like fresh food at home, settle her stomach, which helped, and then in the end we ended up moving on to raw food, which completely helped. But yeah, that was quite a stressful time, because obviously we have this tiny little 8-week-old puppy and she wouldn't eat anything. The only thing she would eat is if we mixed cooked chicken in with her food. But it sounds silly now looking back at it. We used to cook for so much cooked chicken, like almost, trying to entice her to it. But she would look at it and look at us, but eat it, because she obviously got hungry. So it was quite hard. I think we read all these books about training a Labrador, but when we got her, we quickly realized that we weren't too sure about how to actually just, you know, look after her. So that was a steep learning curve. And we were really worried at the vet multiple times, and we got some medicine and stuff for her, which helped. And she still does have periods now, like at the minute it's gone quite bad again, because we've tried to move her on to Eden for the camper van trip. And it's fine. We were feeding her 2 meals raw, 2 meals Eden. It was absolutely fine. As soon as we moved her on to full Eden, it's not been fine. So that's been a couple of weeks of that, hasn't it? But hopefully we'll move her back to the raw and it'll sort itself out again. But I don't know, with time they say that it might get better, but it may just be something that she's had, so we like really stripped back what we feed her. She has like the same sort of things every day, natural treats, and even certain types of food.
Have you found that a raw diet has been quite easy to follow, because that can be quite an overwhelming thing for a lot of people, like how much of certain things you should feed? Has it been quite easy for you to get your head around?
I think it wasn't something that we considered before we got her, but after weeks of not being able to find anything that she could eat and having such an upset stomach, we just wanted to do whatever was best for her. It was quite a steep learning curve, and we did a lot of research on different brands and stuff, but it's been okay. We've been able to manage it. It's been a bit tricky with like weekends away and stuff like that. We've not had a trip where we've not been able to take enough and like not have a freezer space and stuff like that. But I think with the Scotland trip, 2 weeks, we obviously have to give her kibble. So we'll hopefully try and get her back on it.
So this kind of being thrown into owning a Labrador, I say thrown in, you chose to do it, but maybe it was a bit different from kind of what you expected it to be. Would you say it is a fair assessment that actually having a Labrador take over your life is different from what you maybe thought it might be?
Yeah, I think so, but in a positive way. There was a bit of a struggle, you know, for the first couple of months, probably up until very recently, where you know, we had anything that we're invited to, plans with family and friends, you know, we had to consider, is it something that we can take Mabel to? Like, we went to a christening at the weekend. We obviously couldn't take Mabel to that. We had to leave her home for quite a period of time, and that's the longest we've ever left her. And we realized she was absolutely fine. We checked her on the camera the whole time, and she just slept the whole time. So we realized, yeah, we could get our lives back and do bits and bobs that we did before that a dog can't necessarily go to. But most of the things that we do, she can go to. And that's why it's really important for us to, you know, for her to be able to walk down the high street, because we live quite close to high street, and be able to go to a pub and a restaurant with us. That's why we focus on that as much as the recall, because we want her to be able to do these things and be happy doing those things. That was the main thing for us when we thought about getting a dog. We wanted to get a dog that would fit, you know, into our lives. A lot of our friends have smaller type dogs, and when I see them pick them up, and I miss picking people up, I could see the benefit now. But we wanted like an adventurous dog, and she's the best of both worlds. Like, she loves going on a walk, but as soon as she's home, she loves to have a cuddle and a snuggle on the sofa as well. It was great.
Are you pleased that you didn't get a Vizsla, or have you still got a desire to get a Vizsla?
Mabel is very chilled. She is quite a chilled dog, and she's not very bouncy, which we quite like. There was obviously a time where she would jump up a lot, but she doesn't really jump up. We've met quite a few Vizslas when we're out, and they're quite bouncy. And no, I'm definitely glad we went with Mabel. We'll probably, I don't know, maybe go with another one, but a different colour next time.
One of each colour. what would you say the biggest challenges that you've faced with Mabel, her training, living with her, what's kind of been that one standout thing that has probably just given you the most frustration?
I would say it's definitely walking on a lead. That's one thing that we weren't prepared for at all. And when Amy spoke about the training in the village hall, I think the method that we learned there wasn't really for Mabel. And we didn't think about it at all at the time, completely underestimated how quickly she would grow and how quickly she would be stronger than us as well. Thinking about it now, like, when we used to walk them down the high street, she'd be roaming everywhere. So we kind of taught her that that was okay. So that was a massive, if we ever get another dog, we'll definitely not be doing that. The lead and the collar will be on at eight weeks. So we've been trying to do heel walking. We've tried loads of different combinations of leads, and it was getting okay to the point that we actually did walk her on the high street. She still gets very excited. As soon as we get her out of the car, she goes mental. So we sit and wait for a couple of minutes and then try and make a few steps. But unfortunately, when we did go away on that family weekend to Wales, when the whole family's, you know, off walking to the pub, we can't really do our heel walking routine, which is change direction every time she pulls. So yeah, we unfortunately let her pull, and I feel like we've gone back to almost square one now. So that was quite a big lesson learned for us, but we're gonna continue working on it. But that's probably something that we weren't expecting and extremely frustrating. And we also don't want to hurt her, and we want her to walk along happy as well.
I suppose that example you've given about allowing her to pull because of the situation just shows really how important consistency is. And just kind of saying, these are the rules, this is what we're going to do, and it's got to happen really consistently. Lead walking is always the biggest challenge for most Labradors out there. So if you could, let's say there's someone at home that's just got this 8-week-old puppy, and they're thinking, right, I'm not too bothered if my dog pulls because they're this big, they're tiny. What advice would you give them about lead walking?
I would definitely say start it, you know, at that 8 weeks. You know, put a collar on, put a lead on. We as well made a mistake that we didn't put a collar or a lead on Mabel which at the time didn't feel like very long, but as soon as it was a couple of weeks because her collar was too big, and then we put one on and she would roll everywhere trying to get it off, and then we put a lead on and she just lay down and didn't want to get up. But yeah, I would say practice it in the garden, you know, just up and down the garden, up and down the house, to put it on, but to train them, to teach them to be at a certain position and not just, you know, scanning the area in front of you. Mabel knows heel position. She just knows that she doesn't have to do it when she's out. And that's, you know, where we're at. If we say heel at home, you know, she's straight there. If you put the lead on in the house, there's no issues with it. But as soon as we go outside, she just launches to the end of the lead.
Work in progress. Amy, let's talk about other Labrador stuff now. So What do you reckon the biggest misunderstanding is about owning a Labrador? So before you got her, you read books, you looked online, and it probably said they're this cute, fluffy breeder dog that's really easy to train. Is that accurate, or is there anything else that has cropped up that you think is not particularly accurate based on what you thought you knew beforehand?
I think because Mabel is working line, I think my kind of idea of a Labrador is that they're quite dopey. I don't know whether that's just from, I don't know, it could be anything like TV or just Labradors that you see down the street that are perhaps a bit older, or they just kind of have this impression that they're just like really chilled and, you know, really family dog. I think they're known as a family dog, which 100% they are. Maybe not when they're biting your skin off stage. I don't really know how people have really young children and Labradors, but they obviously manage it. But I think they're just super, super smart. And I didn't really expect her to be so intelligent. And I don't really know why. But, and also I didn't think the connection between, I knew I would love her because she's our pet and I love animals, but it's almost like she's just got such a personality and you really kind of get to know each other and the bond there. I don't think anything really prepares you for that, because it's like an unconditional love. Like people say it and it sounds a bit cliche, but it's like coming down to that little wagging tail in the morning, like her eyes like looking up at you. There's nothing, I don't think anything kind of takes the place of that. And I don't know where it is. Probably it won't just be a Labrador thing, but they do have a certain characteristic about them. They're just so loving. And I think, yeah, I don't think I kind of realized that would be such a big thing.
They're amazing. And as you were talking, you were smiling. Sarah sat next to you as you were talking. Sarah was smiling as well. So I know how much Mabel probably means to you both. For people that are just venturing into the world of Labrador ownership and caring for them, what bit or bits of advice would you give them?
I would say maybe first 3 months, to be honest, at least it is a challenge. It's not easy. And there are points where you're like, you know, does my puppy even like me? Because when she's like attacking you and she just seems absolutely crazy, you're like, is she ever going to calm down? Or he, but it just does get better and it does kind of just all click into place. I remember people saying that to us. All of a sudden it will just start, all of your training, all of your just work with your dog, it will all start paying off. And it really does. It felt like overnight that she just stopped biting and she stopped like jumping up and scratching and things like that. And it is just time. So I just think don't worry if you're feeling stressed or you're perhaps maybe regretting getting a puppy for a second, because it will get better. And I think it's just really important to just keep going with the training. If you want to give up, please don't, because it's just going to make the next however long, you know, 10, 15 years with your dog that much easier. And if you can kind of put in 100% with your training for the first, I don't know, three years, I would say, then you've got, you know, what, an extra 10 good foundation, basically. And in the reality of like the dog's whole life, that's not very long. So yeah, keep going. Don't feel bad for feeling bad about your dog, because that's natural. I'm sure we had our moments, but it's all worth it. So just keep going.
Perfect. That's solid advice. I'm not going to add any more to that. It's perfect. Sarah, and for you, what would your final message be to anyone that's listening to this that is in that stage, that first kind of 3-6 months, that is sat at home thinking, I don't know if I can do this anymore, or they're thinking, actually, am I doing the right thing? What's your key bit of advice to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because there is going to be off days, and I think you shouldn't be so hard on yourself for having off days. When I look back on our first couple of months with Mabel, I do regret being so worried and so stressed that, you know, we weren't doing the right thing. Oh no, was that the wrong thing to do? Have we taught her a bad habit? Is to try and not worry about those things as much and enjoy that small stage, because soon she'll be too big and you won't be able to pick her up, him or her up. So enjoy the puppy stage, as stressful it is, because when you look back at photos of them being a puppy, you think that was not our dog, because look how big they are now. I definitely think that for myself. And one piece of advice that I heard was that they're a dog and they can only be a dog. Like, don't be annoyed at them for doing dog-like things, because you have got a dog and you've chosen to get a dog. And that's one of the things that really helped me. So when she was doing something that annoyed me, you know, it wasn't necessarily she was doing something bad. She's just being a dog. And to let, you know, just let them be, really. And like Amy said, is, yeah, definitely keep going. Don't be so hard on yourself for having off days. And try and book. We had this sticky up thing on in the kitchen where we had all these tasks that we were going to work on every day. It was unachievable, because we wouldn't do it. And by the end of the week, we were annoyed at ourselves, because we're like, oh, we didn't do heel walking on Tuesday, and now look, she's awful at heel walking. So then we stripped it back to two things, and we just focused on like those two things. I think, yeah, they're not going to be perfect at everything, but maybe decide what's the most important thing to you and just keep focusing on that.
Great, great advice. We've heard a bit about Mabel. People need to go and check her out now. So I know you've finally succumbed and created an Instagram account for her. So tell everyone where they can go and check her out.
So you can find Mabel on Instagram, Mabel_FoxRed_Lab.
Right, everyone go and check her out and show some love over on Instagram. Sarah and Amy, thank you for sharing your experiences all about Mabel. She is a fantastic little youngster who's going to bring you loads and loads of joy throughout the coming years. Just enjoy every moment of it together. Thanks for joining us. Find out more by checking out talesofsuccess.com or search @talessuccess on your social channels.